Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is a time of having an honest conversation. This is Brother Lee from Chicago, Windy City, USA. I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus who basically just in the what we call along the way street ministry, heart to heart and faith to faith, where the throwaways and rejects and the hurting and the unwanted and those that are cast aside hold my heart concern and compassion. So I salute the Lord Jesus to all the saints worldwide and to those who have not made that great decision and that consider the greatest moment of their lives, saying, yes, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and my Savior. So today, we're going to have a chat. I'm trying to stay away from the religious format because people are not always welcoming the religious, quote, format because they want heart-to-heart, face-to-face, talk-to-talk, where I'm at. How can my conversation with you and with God can help me in a time of my great need? Now we are at a point, I would say, that a lot of people around the world and even in this great nation, America, who has claimed to be a Christian standard, a Bible, gospel-believing nation, are now faced with a dilemma. And because of this dilemma, we see that fear has gripped many people. Fear and distress and what they call pandemic turmoil and stress because of a virus they call coronavirus. But let's consider, the Bible talks about fear. Bible describes three types of fears. One is the human natural fear that protects you from making foolish decisions that endanger your welfare or life or the life of others. That's the human fear that God puts in most human beings, all human beings. Then there's the fear of God. This is the reverential love and deep consideration of the great God of creation and redemption, which calls you to humbly say, thou art God. I give you direction of my life, and I recognize that. The fear of God, the scripture said, is the beginning of wisdom. Why does it say that in the book of Proverbs? Chapter 4 and chapter 3, it says, the fear of the Most High God is the beginning of wisdom. And it says, the knowledge of the holy yields understanding. Now, if you never get anything that we said today, I want you to consider what the wise man Solomon said in the book of Proverbs that teaches us how to deal with panic and fear and any other crisis that faces a nation, individual, or family, or community. It says in the book of Divine Wisdom by King Solomon to speak to people of all ages and all times in every difficulty of life. Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father. I pray and I speak and I turn my heart to you and I say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that is risen from the dead at the right hand of the Father, who is now interceding for us in this crisis. I am thankful, Lord Jesus, as written in the scriptures, that you're at the right hand of the Father, whoever you are ever liveth as a high priest interceding for us. So now, Lord Jesus, I thank you and I acknowledge you at the right hand of the Father. that you are interceding for us, as Hebrews 7:25 says. You're now making intercession for us in this difficulty, and especially your people. Hallelujah. And to the saints, and to Israel, and to all the people that look to you, O Lamb of God. So now, cause the ears to hear and get and grasp the understanding why this has come upon us. And let us understand the purpose that it will serve. And let's understand God's purpose for allowing it to be. So thank you, Jesus, for enlightening us. We ask the help of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some person will be today be lifted and given hope and turn to the God of hope. So thank you. Cover us in the blood of Jesus, hide us under the cross, and open our eyes and understanding to what you would say. Thank you, Holy One of Israel. Now, everyone that's listening today, I'm Brother Lee, just a simple servant of Christ. I'm not, you know, looking for any fame or any special recognition, just a servant of Christ seeking to be faithful and being a help to mankind. And we're talking right now from a point on this day, which is called the, they call it the Tuesday, I guess. That's the name that they put to these days a week. They gave them some kind of heathen names. The Bible used to refer to them first day, second day, the third day, fourth day, fifth, or sixth, or seventh day. But for understanding, we'll just say it's Tuesday in the year 2002. And so we're having this conversation, and I'm having this conversation, and I'm on this broadcast just to say and ask a few questions that you may consider. And why crisis and difficulty happen in this world? And why has fear, the spirit of fear? Now, where is the spirit of fear comes from? It's a spiritual thing. The Bible says in Timothy 2:1-8, God, the Almighty God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus the Christ, has not given his people the spirit of fear. Now, the people outside of Christ or out of the covenant of Christ or outside of his redemption, Romans chapter 5, do God shine mercy and kindness on them, but they have no covenant with God. No, they have no promise from the Lord God concerning their relationship because they have no relationship with God. And many people today are saying, should I consider in this crisis that why the Lord permit this, that he may bring revival and a spiritual awakening to everyone that has not made a decision? Because the Lord permits things, even though he doesn't orchestrate things, he may allow man or Satan bring about certain things and use them for his glory. That he may turn the eyes of a nation, turn the eyes of communities, of families and countries to the true and the living God, and turn their eyes upon his purpose and plan, and they might awaken and say, I need the living God in my life, in my family, in my marriage. I need the destiny and purpose of God. This crisis has awakened me of my greatest need, to be hid under the cross with the blood of Jesus and redeeming that Jesus has to be my Lord, because greater crises are coming than this one. And I need an absolute guarantee when the world is looking to government and men and scientists, all good and well. I need an absolute guarantee from an absolutely eternal God concerning my welfare, me and my family in this earth. But not only do I need a guarantee, I need a guarantee what is my destiny when I leave the earth. That's the most important question. That people are in a panic, which they should be in some ways, but that the living God, the church of the living God, should be walking in great assurance and not panic and fearing not. Fear is a spirit of fear, the Bible talks about, is torment, and people are tormenting by the agony that they may be struck by this plague. But if they would turn their eyes, as Colossians 3 said, turn all your affection, turn all your attentions upon him who commands life, redemption, and deliverance, and divine protection. If you'll turn your hearts to him, wow, and begin to seek and desire that this nation will turn back to the living God, and that your churches will make and set their hearts to please the Lord and walk according to his will and word. Now, and there come a cleansing and a deliverance, that we need a Holy Ghost revival. This might help us, as Joel chapter 2, that he would revive us, awaken us, and stir up, that we may turn our eyes, even America, back to his first love, Jesus the Christ. Revelation talks about a condition exists that he's woefully crying to a nation, turn back. You have turned away from the living God. Israel turned back, and they broken for 2,500 years in the nation because they rejected Jehovah as their God. And they suffered this because of the hardness of their heart. Now, America is doing the same thing, and the world is turning its back. And they're serving many gods and many things. They're listening to greed, money, power, sex, perversion, sensuality, drug, everything you want to name. They're just trying to replace the living God. But they will answer. So people today may say, well, I'm going to drink myself through this, and I'm going to give me some drinks and go to there, because they're closing the bars and everything. They're closing most of the restaurants in Chicago. All the things are closed down. But people that want to engage in evil, they can always find a way to find it. I don't care. They can find a drug or alcohol. They can find whatever they want. Evil can always look until they find them. So if you turn your attention and find the living God, like you can find them drugs and that alcohol and that evil, you'll be doing. And the Bible says, seek and you shall find. So they seek what they want to try to supplement in this crisis. But there is no but one answer, one solution. That's why they walk in fear and panic. And even the Christians are caught to prove whether they really believe. So today, we'll just have a little chat instead of, you know, we'll turn away from the church setting so much and the religious type of setting, and we'll turn that to the real setting, walking in fear, a nation gripped by fear. Listen, why are you gripped by this unnatural bondage of fear? Now, you know, fear, this kind of fear, it causes your heart to go up and a poison goes to your brain. That's what the Lord talks about, fear not. This type of fear is destructive. And in the Bible, if you go through the Bible and you read it, you know, when the angels of God appeared, when they had a revelation or visitation from heaven or something, the Lord, the first thing he would say, fear not. Fear not, for I am the Lord your God. Fear not. The angels come upon me, said, rise, fear not. Because this type of fear, which has gripped America and the world, is to awaken us. Now, I know a lot of people, as soon as this has passed, this crisis passed, they're going to go right back to the same old darkness in their lives. And they're going to say, hey, man, yeah, I got through it, baby. Hey, how you doing, sugar baby? Hey, I got through this, man. Let's go back and do our same old darkness and walk in darkness and evil. Just keep on doing your thing, man. We got through it. I was lucky. Well, I don't know. If you're trusting in luck, I don't know. A lot of people are trusting in luck. But I want to tell you something, that this God of living and creation and redemption, Jesus, is not luck. So if you're trusting in the God of luck and chance, a chance it may not get you a lucky man, I'm going to do all I can do, but then it might get you anyway. Now, are you ready to meet God? Then you got to ask yourself, if I don't survive and stay in this life, am I ready, prepared to meet God? Now, I must ask my question. Am I prepared for my destiny outside of this life? Well, I can't worry about that. I ain't got to worry about that. I just give me another drink. Give me a cigarette. Give me some reefer there, bruh. Oh, I ain't going to worry about all that old Trump. I don't believe in all that old Trump, no way. Yeah, there's a lot of people going to say, I better think again about my soul eternity. I think I better revive this day in my life and consider, do I need to make a covenant and make contact with the absolutely unfailing God? Shataka. I said the absolutely eternal, unfailing, loving, compassionate, just God who will permit these plagues, and he also will send plagues. Now, fear has gripped us, and Satan is making havoc, and many people are dying almost just from fear and making bad decisions, and their hearts is rushing, and heart attacks and strokes, and adrenaline and poison is going through their body, and their immune system being affected, and their minds is running wild, and they're looking for a temporary thing to soothe them through. So, baby, stack up the beer and stack up the vodka and stack up the bourbon and then give me the reefers and give me the new cigarettes and I need to puff on stuff and make myself and then give me some other stuff that I'm doing to try to comfort me in this plague. Wow. Now the Lord God, even the God of Israel, sent his son. You can read this in Ephesians. In the New Testament, chapter 1 to 5, just read it. Just put yourself down and start reading the Bible as if it was God's talking to you. Now, I want you to read the Bible and say, look, what if God is speaking to me and really speaking to me and I've been ignoring him and I've been pushing him away and I even been saying, get out of my face. I don't want to hear that stuff. I'm not interested in that stuff. All you can give me is some money. Give me some drink or some, give me some woman or some of them, those that believe in men and women, sexual. Well, let's try a man, let's try a woman, let's try a dog, because you haven't found peace with God. If you haven't found peace with God, you're going to have to do what the devil offer you, a few moments of pleasure to sin. And so people that are living by pleasure and living only for this life, no matter how much money they got, how much fame they got, I reckon they're not satisfied, and the devil keep driving them to try this and try this because it doesn't give life or peace. And God is the only one through Christ can give you peace. Blessed is the peacemaker. You know why it says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8 and 9, it tells about a story about a Savior coming 800, 900 years before he was born. In Matthew's one about a savior of the world. Now, get this, because the devil got all kind of religious and theories in thousands of all over the world. Confusion. And when you don't know the true living God, you're going to have to be in confusion and in fear. But even the church world seemed to be at odds to prove whether God is real, and do they believe God, or that thumping and jumping on Sunday is just a make-believe, a type, a show. But when now the crisis come, you got to prove that you believe. The crisis has hit us. The government was not prepared. You understand, government, the greatest government, power government, was not prepared. So they got to do a lot of stuff, backtracking, lying, conning and stuff, because our government may try to help you, but they're limited. But who is not limited? Who is unlimited? Yeah, I know, dog. You know, I know, dog. But you know, the man's up there somewhere. I know he's up there. But the problem is, where is he in your life? Yeah, he all right. Me and the man all right. We all good, really. Darkness, spiritual darkness in your soul, in your life. You don't know how to get rid of it. You know, a lot of people need to be awakened, because they need to get on their knees in their churches and begin to fast and pray and say, bring revival, bring a spiritual awakening, bring a Holy Ghost awakening. Do something, Lord. You're trying to get us to rethink our lives and our decisions. Even the church world, some of them are gripped with fear. Why are they in fear? Why are they afraid? Ah, why are they not walking? Why are the church, the believers, the born again, why are they not walking without fear? Since God has not given us the spirit of fear to rule over our lives, what has he given us? The Bible said he's given us peace, power, love, faith, wisdom, and a sound mind. That's what he's given us, the believers. But why is the believers embracing this panic of fear? Some of the church people are running like the sinners are, in what? In doubt and in fear. What do them reveals? show and tell. It also says that you all have to go to a place where fear does not have power over you. So many Christians are not in that place where fear and disaster and crisis come, does not shake them, does not grip them and destroy them and have them in bad decision. Why is the Christian should not fear the evil? Why are they walking even in center in the government is in grips with fear? I'm going to say something that I believe that this virus is a man released cognitive. Now, this is my own thought. This is not a revelation from God. This is not a doctrine. I'm just giving you got your point. But I speak, and I'm going to say from this panel, I would say perhaps it is a man-made virus that's been released. I ain't going to go there. I'm going to leave that alone. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you this. Curses, you will see three things by saying about curses, plagues, pestilence, the wrath of God, and the judgment of God against wickedness. A type in the Sodom and Gomorrah and in Noah's generation, you see where the Lord plagued them with judgment. Now, this plague of disease is my thought is a man-made, but I want it's released. Hallelujah. And here's where you had to get on your knees and the Lord had to speak to you and show you what's behind this stuff. Now, the government, the United States government and the governments of the world like China, where it started, seemed to start it and they kept it hid in secret, and then Russia and Iran, Iraq, and all these places, which I'm not going to get into, the conspiracy to grip America and the world in fear. But it has a greater purpose for all of this, behind this leaf. Now, witches and warlocks and Satanists are real. They serve the devil with a whole heart, and they are releasing curses upon America and the Christians, and they are praying and fasting, and witches and warlocks who release curses. I know you don't believe that. That's okay. But that's okay. It's all right. You ain't got to believe. You're going to believe after a while. You're going to believe. There are people who are called covenants of high priesthood, witches, and Satanists who committed their lives totally to Satan, the demons, and they are releasing curses upon America and the Christians and upon Israel. Now, there are witches and Satanists and all kind of people in the high places. They're in the United States government, in the state government, and they in all communities, Satan, principalities, and powers, are stationed by Satan in our government in every way. People that are working to destroy America, Christians, and the preaching of the gospel, and to control the nations, the spirit of the Antichrist and beast. But I want to tell you that the disease, this affliction, is a small thing, and it will soon pass, and there will be many people dying. But what is it really going to serve from God's point of view? This panic that you're living under, and even has gripped the church, many of them, not all of them. Why are they not walking in peace? Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Now, he's talking not only to the disciples of his day, because they were being killed, murdered, tortured, and hunted down like dogs because of their faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Redeemer. And the Jews had rejected Jesus. And that's why, when you reject the living God, curses come upon a nation that reject the gospel living God. See, the Jews rejected Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and they were scattered and beaten down because they turned their back on him and refused to accept their salvation. America is not turning its back on Jesus, just like the Jews did against Jehovah and his law. America then turned his back because America is the top nation that God uses to speak to the world, top Christian nation, not a global. Yes. Noble. Now, understand this. Jesus knows them that are his. He knows them that are his. Make this clear. Christ knows, the Bible said it, them that are his. He knows them that are his. He knows, okay? So, this is the day. Come on, come on, come on. Yes. So, go ahead. So, consider this. Oh, you can consider this. May I just check that thermostat, man? Hello. Understanding. Sorry. Somebody came to the door. Want to say, listen, fear has gripped America and most of the Christian world. Listen, three things come to test your faith. And your look and see the testing of your faith has come. You say you believe the word of God, the promise, the testing of your faith, the testing of your faith has come.
Messiah,
the testing of our faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. What kind of faith is this that we've got to live by? Because there's a different types of faith. That's the God's kind of faith. That's the Bible kind of faith. That's the Jesus kind of faith. That's the faith that delivers you from fear in the midst of crisis. Hebrews chapter 11. Hello. Hello. Okay. We're back on alive. Now, when fear, let's go back to the Bible. Why the devil uses fear to paralyze, control, and to destroy and overthrow. And while Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant, and therefore he says, have faith in God. Mark 9, 22-23, and Mark 11, chapter verse 22. He said, have the faith of God. Now, what kind of faith is the marks that Jesus said, have the faith of God, have the God's kind of faith, the Bible kind of faith? He's talking about us where the believers not only have to have the faith that brings them to Christ, but they have to get in and walk in the God's kind of faith, that they not be shaken, moved, or disturbed by the evil that is coming upon the earth and upon mankind. The God's kind of faith, the Bible kind of faith, place you in a relationship and a walk with God. As you see, if they walk with God, they were in a place, what they call much assurance. Now, this place, it takes the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to get you to this place, a relationship with Christ, and submission to the Holy Spirit to get you and every believer into God's kind of place of faith, where they are not overcome by fear or disaster that's coming, nor sorrow that's coming upon the world. So God says that God's kind of faith, typical, shown by Abraham and Joshua and David and in the early apostles, that God's kind of faith comes by yielding your life, submitting your life totally to the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and provide the assurance that you're under God's divine protection and under his care as long as you're walking in the light, that you need neither fear nor evil. This is why David says that the many battles that he faced with the heathen nations and the ungodly nations who were under the control of Satan and the powers of darkness, and he, David, was walking under the power of Jehovah and his might with the angels of deliverance, gave this experience to us and word to us, and the word that God gave me years ago, three scriptures to walk under this and walk in this. And the one was that to walk in this, this God's kind of assurance, unwavering, unmoving, not being shaken, but walking in the peace that keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. What kind of assurance and faith that can keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ? Philippians talks about this is the type of assurance and peace that can keep your heart and mind with much assurance. Now, you can't get this from the government necessarily. They can help you and people in this earth. But this kind of assurance, God's kind of faith and assurance that calls you to be at peace, calls you to be at peace in Christ. Did you get that? This does, peace doesn't come from the world. John 14, Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world of the systems and the governments and things of this world or your money or anything that can't give you this kind of assurance nor peace. Because man is limited, but God Almighty is not limited. And he has absolutely made guarantee. The government guarantees you so much, and they'll limit, and they'll lie, and sometimes they'll be truthful. But they can't give you absolute guarantee of safety and assurance. But listen here. Jesus said, John 14, my peace of assurance I'll give you. Not like the system of the flesh or the man of the world or even your government. But my peace that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and mind, Philippians 4 said. My peace is give you assurance that if you pass through it, it shall not touch you. Now, you can walk in assurance, and this is the wake-up call for the churches and the believers who are just walking on the edges and playing games and shadowboxing. And we have to stop shadowboxing, Christians, and because we're going to get in the real ring where we're going to have the real test. And this is a small test that has come upon us. And the Lord has allowed it. Will revival come? Will there come a spiritual awakening in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, 4, 5? Will there come a move of the Holy Ghost that would turn the world upside down or would turn the church world back on focus to the Lamb of God? The restoration of their lives. King David says, and this is given to me to walk and cover myself. And I know it's in the Old Testament and New Testament, think that God didn't speak in the Old Testament. God did only spoke in the New. I'm not going to get into that because God has spoken from the beginning of the world and spoken to the end. That means he's spoken in the old and new and to the end. So the word that he spoke in the concerning our deliverance is the same and greater in the New Testament. So he spoke in the beginning as well as he spoke in the middle and he speaks in the end. And the only thing that stops God from speaking is unbelief, ignorance, and doubt. But he has spoken in this generation to the prophets, Ephesians chapter 4, and spoken to the preachers and pastors and elders and intercessors, and he has sent angels, and he has spoken, and he has visited, and he has sent the Holy Ghost, and he's speaking to certain people in the earth who will hear. King David, 27th Psalm, says what? And this is what I'm giving you, a shadow beyond how we're going to be delivered from the things to come where you're walking, where you're standing. And who are you trusting in? So many are panicked because they see the government can only do limited things in the natural. But who's going to go beyond the natural ability? Thank God for what they're doing in the natural, the doctors and the scientists and the government and all those people. There are certain things that will help you when you obey them in the natural. Yeah, you're supposed to, watch and be careful and don't foolish things and walk in wisdom doing these things. It don't mean that you walk foolishly, unwisely, doing foolish things. But you can't depend on what you do in the natural because this is a spiritual war and plagues up in the spirit realm. And you have to rely upon that thing which is in the kingdom of God to what? Protect, deliver, and direct you. For it says in Romans, 14, I think, God consists of money and natural things, but of greater things that are unseen by the eye. Faith, power, covenant, authority, atonement, victory, and triumph in Christ. And divine protection. And divine assurance. And peace that keep your heart and your mind. And you can rejoice in the midst of all of this because your God is faithful and he will not fail you. See, to know that you serve an unfailing trust in the living God, the Christ, failing, unlimited, absolutely watches over his word to do it, to keep all of it. This is why the church is a crisis now, because we don't really believe all of the word of God. They believe, certain groups believe this and believe that, and some believe greater, and some believe greater their faith, according to their faith and the knowledge of God. Some people are greater faith. Some Christians are closer to God, more enlightened with God, walking with God in a place where the desert and the storm and the crisis do not overtake them, not shake them. Are you walking in that place? Even though you're redeemed and saved, and even though you call yourself Holy Ghost free or born out, you're walking in that place of assurance, then great for you. But the other Christian, you better hurry up and get there. You better break your ties with traditions of men, and you better get to that place that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24. When the desolation come, it shall not come nigh thee or overtake you, but you're standing in the holy place. Well, if you're not standing in the holy place, in the sanctified and called out place, then you might want to get there, believer. No, don't stand in the Baptist place, the Episcopalian place. Don't stand in the Catholic place. Stand in the holy place in Christ. No, don't stand in the Islam, the Jehovah's Witness, all those places, the place. Don't stand in the Mormons. That's not the place. Roman Catholic, don't stand in that. In Christ, the Redeemer, the Lord, the Protector, the Deliverer, stand in the holy place of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord. His word is guaranteed he'll back it up. Here's the thing about all these other places. You may choose to stand there. That's your choice. But I'm directing you what the Bible says. The gospel is the power of God and salvation, that there is one Lord, one faith, one hope, one deliverer, one that died, one that rose, one that shed his blood, one that's coming back again, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one deliverer, one redeemer. Satan has spread lies, 15th chapter of John. He's played all these lies in religions and governments. They're coming down, Revelation 12. That's what you see, this is mounting of all the governments of the world, because the kingdom of God is coming and Jesus is coming to rule. But there's come a shaking and awakening. And this pestilence is to turn those honest hearts, people who wants to be his sheep, John 10, his sheep, to come now and make a decision or continue your way. America's about to fall and crumble because she's become an idolatrous, a Babylon nation now, and the intercessors, the Christians in her, is keeping her from being destroyed. The remnant of faithful. Listen, the Lord said, walk in, not in fear, walk in fear, the fear of God. Walk in the wisdom of God. Walk in peace. Walk with assurance. Live. Don't live in the thump-thump. Christians that just worship on what they call Sunday worship, but don't walk with the Lord. It's a walk and a joining with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord daily and walk with the Lord through the work of the gospel and the Holy Spirit and sell out everything. Then you can walk in assurance. Sell out to Christ everything. Well, you can't get rid of all of this. You can't get sin. You can't get rid of that. God wants you to do a little stiff and a little this and a little that. Well, if that's so good, if you believe that a little, God don't want you to do a little sin, a little this, a little rebellion, a little this, then why don't you today go get and buy some rat poison and say, I'm going to take a little bit of this rat. It ain't no harm. I'm going to take a little of this poison. It ain't no harm. If you believe that a little in the spiritual realm don't matter, a little leaven, a little rebellion, a little sin, disobedience, a walking straddle the fence. If you think that's not going to matter, then these plagues will catch you and get you because you're not walking in the assurance. Now, you have to decide. I'm talking to the Christians now. The sinners have to make a decision. The backsliders. The people that's walking, trying to serve two masters, Jesus said, in the world, in the flesh, and you don't want to stay there. Sanctify yourself and come out, and come out from among them. Listen, beloved, We're talking to a God of love, but a God of justice. Cares. Don't live in the thump thump and the hump hump. That's the son of people. They shout, jump, and show emotions, and they wear their see through things and turn about fleshly things, and they run to the racetrack if they leave the church, and they go get that number, and they go to Atlanta, Las Vegas, and they go to their boyfriends and their X-trees, and they go get their cigarettes, and then they turn and they have their hearts filled with bitterness and hate towards somebody, and they're not in the right place. That's why the evil shall come nigh them. You don't want to be in that place. You want to be the place of assurance, blessed assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus said, when he shaped this world in Matthew 24, he said, stand ye in the holy place. He told Israel, who is Israel, not in the holy place because they rejected Jesus. So destruction is going to come upon Israel and the Jews. I don't care how much they say they're the chosen of people. They got to come under the covering of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Messiah. They will be thoroughly humble, just like America is being humble as now. And maybe we are being humble to get in that blessed assurance place. Jesus only, the one that can give absolute guarantees. Mr. Trump can't do that. He can do what he can do in the world, the government can do. They can't get absolute guarantee. Our government is limited. Medical doctors do good. Many of them do, scientists, but they are limited. The Bible says that Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry in the New Testament of his blood. He is the mediator of a better covenant. If you read that in the 8th chapter of Hebrew, he talks about giving the New Testament a better covenant, a better promises, better than the Old Testament. How can the New Testament saints look at the Old Testament and says, well, I'm New Testament, but I don't understand how the Lord preserved Israel when the 10 plagues did not come by them, and he protected Israel in Goshen when the 10 plagues of Moses was loose. The 10 plagues and pestilence that was loosed upon Egypt by Moses did not come nigh them. The house of Israel, they had the blood covenant over them, and they were under it, covered. When you see the blood of the lamb, that was the head was told to a type of Christ coming, dying, and redeeming us. It's a type and a symbol of the real blood of Christ. Now, you know why we have many good, wonderful people in the many religions, and you got a lot of good people in Islam, Hindu, Buddha, and walking in darkness. You know what they're trusting in? The Buddhists trusting in, and they got a lot of good and wonderful people. The Hindus, what they're trusting, born in that culture, you know what they're trusting in? You know what the Roman Catholic and who they're trusting in, Mary and the Pope. You know what the Islam, they're trusting in a dead, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I've got to open their eyes, you understand. They're trusting in Allah. Some prophet they claim, and my Bible and my experience in Revelation tell me that they're trusting in something that's an absolutely deception of the enemy. There's only one Lord, one faith, one death, one atonement, one resident who broke the bands of death, only one, who rose the dead on the third day, appeared to 500 people, and many people witnesses, and he'd been appearing to people all over the earth. 2,000 Jesus and angels have been appearing to people, as well as demons and devils been working their works. But walk in the God's kind of faith, and you don't shake and wait. I said, walk in the God's kind of faith. Jesus said, now faith cometh. You have to walk in the God's kind of faith. Now, faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. Are you hearing and obeying what you hear? Are you just hearing and shouting and thumping and thumping? Well, just make yourself feel good. But when the crisis comes, the feel good ain't going to deliver you. To know him, you shall know him and walk in the light. See, if you know him, he know you, you fear not. Your heart has changed from glory to glory. You don't fear and shake. So I'm not foolish. I don't tempt God, but I don't walk in the grips of fear. I walk in assurance. I walk in the God's kind of faith. Sure, I'm to do things in the natural, eat the right food for my immune system, and take water and drink enough water. You know, most people don't even drink water. How are they going to help themselves even in the natural? They don't drink water. Water is to keep pure, clean. All they drink is pop and all this other junk food that don't build immune system to eat the right kind of food. You must obey the laws of health. You must do what you do, and God will do what he do, what you can't do. Things that are out of your control, let's make sure your life is under Jesus Christ's control. Walk in the faith and walk in the assurance. And why is America? Because God wanted the intercessors are holding back the destruction. The Christ interceder, the seeding, is holding back the judgment upon America and the world. Jesus is coming, but he ain't through with his fulfilling and prophet. I know Christ could come in a moment, but he can't really come in a moment because his works are not through yet, so he can't come in a moment. Yes, you could die in a moment and leave the earth in a moment. So that means you have to be ready, live ready, and stay ready. I could say many things to you, but you're not ready to receive or hear them now. And so you only you, as a believer, you can only say as much as you are led to say, because you can't tell everything because you're not ready to receive it. Many people can't take it. God give it line upon line, precept upon precept. I want to say I love you, and I'm on this for love's sake and for Christ's sake. And you say, well, what? Christ is my Lord, my Savior. You say, well, do you part of a be believer? I'm part of a church called the Church of Christ with the Elijah message. It's headquarters independent Missouri. We have a message, a last day message that God is giving to this people to warn the world as in the days of Noah. So I would say to you that if you're going to make a decision, make Jesus Christ your Lord and follow the gospel that Peter, Paul, and James and John preach. And ask the Lord Jesus to be your director. Now, greater than things are about to happen than what you see this virus is happening. And I'm sorry to say that many of our church brothers who love the Lord and close to Jesus think that a rapture is going to deliver from all these tests that are coming on the earth. I'm sorry, regretful they are going to be disappointed that they may think that they're going to be delivered from all these tests that's coming to test the faith and divide between those that is and are not. The tests are coming to prove us and test us and divide between those that is or not. Are you walking in that place? And the tests are coming not only to awaken the world and sinners and those that are far off and those who are crying out for God for an answer all over the world and want to know whether Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and the life. He's the healer and the protector. As I said, King David says, the protector, the preserver, my shepherd. First point, Psalms 50. The Lord is mine. May not be your mama's shepherd, your brother, your father, your friends, your wife, your husband, but you have to make an individual say, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd, my individual singular. Remember Lot coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Lot coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the decision he made between his wife and his daughters. Remember that. Remember Job, he had to make a decision between his wife, which his wife said he had to make a decision of integrity. Remember that. King David says to us, and I cover myself, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, he didn't give you that stuff, that sin, that iniquity, not want that. Want what the Lord has provided you. I come that you may have life and have it more abundant. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus came to liberate. You don't have to walk in fear and worry. Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. I can be in a place with assurance and quietness when all this is coming in the earth and not fear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green. He leadeth me by the still waters. You see, not at the turbulent waters that's hitting America, the turbulence person, but he leads me by the still waters. I shall not want. Restore it's my soul. Now, America, this is a wake-up call, be restored. Christians who call in themselves, be restored to the place, or come to the place. Walk in it. Live in it. He restores my soul, leading me in the path of righteousness. What I do, he leads me in the path of righteousness. He leads me not in the path of religion or churchism. He leads me in the path of his righteousness. Who is my righteousness? Romans 5 tell you who is your righteousness. Not who your religion is. Not who you is your, but who is your righteousness. Christ has become my righteous standing with new. He gives you new heart, new spirit, new life. Now, if Christ becomes your righteousness, he also can become your shield and buckler and high tower, your decision as a believer. I said Christ has to be not just your savior of your soul, but whatever you choose to make him, your shield, your buckler, your rock, your fortress, and your high tower, walker. The Lord Jehovah, David says, is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of right for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Though I walk through the valleys of destruction or death, I will fear no evil. Notice what it says, son? I will fear no evil. For what protects me? The rod and staff represent what? The covenant of God, the word, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, thy rod and thy staff delivers me. I will fear no evil. No devil, no demon, no storm, no sickness, no disease. I will not fear. Talking to his people, his believers, the covenant ones. And another scripture was given to me years ago. He said, the Lord is my light. Jehovah great is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the supernatural strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they fell. Who is my shield, my buckler? It's easy and say, I believe, but then the test come, how much and what do you believe? When the test come to show us, to awaken us to see, I don't really believe with all of my heart. I believe this, but I don't believe that. Here we are. What do we really believe concerning the word of God? It's so easy to say, I love you. Then you see people says in the church, and they'll say, oh, I love you. And then when the test come to prove, do they really love you? Don't you see church people as well as sinners, they don't have the God's kind of love. You see people, they have the type of love called the Pharisee love. They love them that love them, and them that love them, they love them. But I'm talking about the God's kind of love and the God's kind of faith that's going to deliver you. And so people will say, even in the church world, as long as you agree with them and go along with them, they'll love you. That is a religious type of love. That's not the God's kind of love. But as long as you disagree with them, or do something contrary to them, or don't go walk with them, they don't love you anymore. That's not the God's kind of love. They can't even forgive you. They won't forgive you. I know a lot of religious people who are walking in bitterness, they don't forgive. They can't forgive. Wrong place when the pestilence comes. Wrong place, pestilence coming. And the plagues come. Wrong place. Jesus is coming, but other things are coming before he comes to test the church, to prove the church, to awaken him, the world, to awaken Israel and Jacob and all mankind, because he's a God of love as well as a God of justice. He's a God of love for you. That's why you're still alive. Many people will be caught in this. I want to tell you, this pandemic fear is not for the believers. It's to awaken. It also to test the believer, but really is to grip the world and all the church world to turn their eyes upon the Lamb of God. Behold the crucified, risen Christ. And turn your heart in faith and victory, not in fear. God has not given a spirit of fear, but given a spirit of wisdom, faith, love, power, and a sound mind. And walk in assurance and fear no evil. Jesus loves you really not. Make a decision where you're going to walk and who you're going to trust in. Greater things than these are coming. Read your book, the gospel. You'll find a way of assurance. Love you.